Please join with us in these next 2 weeks as we'll be praying for the team. 6 o'clock at the church office. And if anybody would know who's been on missions, that it's not just a little religious exercise that we do when we come together to pray. That it's literally the team members who go out, that it's our lifeline when we're out there and we know that we are covered and we are prayed for. And the Lord has just been so faithful. We've been doing missions in Shofar since 1996. And at one stage, we had been sending out cyclists. They've just been going around the country for 7 years in a row, cycling around the borders of the country, praying for the nation and being followed by outreach teams. And all of these years, not once have we lost a life. And anybody who's been involved with missions know that that is quite a statistic, and we don't take credit for that. But we do believe that it's because of the prayers of faithful saints, that we believe the people who stay behind and the people who go exactly one. It's one team going. And I can just vouch for the fact that it is as we come together, and I can testify of my own life, it has been the times when I got up and went to pray for teams and just normal intercession meetings that the Lord has really spoken into my heart. And things that I've been trusting Him for answers. Most of the most important answers in my life didn't come in my own personal quiet time. It came as I was busy with the saints praying, and the Holy Spirit would drop something into my spirit. If somebody else would be praying for somebody else, and it will illuminate something in me. So come with an expectation. Come with an expectation, knowing that your prayers make a difference. And even if you can't make it to the office, do pray in your own personal capacity for them as well. Okay, now that they covered your prayers. And we're going to keep you regularly updated with how it's going. If you have any questions, phone the office. What's the name of the blog? You guys said shofarletsgo.org. You can check out what's going on there as well. This evening, depending on which side of the winning team you were, if I mentioned the name Morne Steyn, you would have... okay. If I mentioned the name Scott Berger, Jacques Furie, Brian Abana, there'd be some reactions. And like I said, depending on which jersey you wore yesterday, what color your blood is, whether it's green or red, it will determine how you react to those names, your reaction to that name. And this evening I want to speak to us, and I'm just so thankful, Ella, and to you guys for your faithfulness in choosing those songs, because it really just highlights what the Holy Spirit has placed on my heart to minister to us tonight about. Just about the name of Jesus. And in that name, the power that resides in it, in that name, the tremendous liberty and freedom that resides in it for us as well. And I know that most of us, probably one stage of our lives, we found ourselves being labeled according to a specific name. Whether that was on the basis of your language that you spoke, or your gender, or whether it was on the basis of your socioeconomic position in society, or whether it was on the basis of your ethnicity, or on the basis of who your brother was or wasn't, on the basis of who your dad was or wasn't, your reputation and the way people treated you often had very little to do with who you were per se. And very often had to do with the connotations which people attached to your name based on what other people did who carried the same name as you. Same surname, or the same racial name, or linguistic name. And for myself, I remember just being a young kid, we lived all over the world, or all over the nation rather, and my dad was a minister in one of the denominational churches, and very blessed times in our lives that we spent there. One of the perks being a preacher's son was that whenever we used to go on holiday, just before, a week or so before we would leave, I would do my rounds and I would go and visit people I wouldn't normally go and visit. Just a little boy, I picked up on that quite quickly. About 5 or 6 years old, we lived in a small town called Garis. Does anybody know where Garis is? Hey, the informed, educated people amongst us. Lived in a little town, and it wasn't a big community, but that community has had its advantages in the sense that everybody knew who I was. I was the Dumini's son. And so I would do my rounds, and then I would get a little tip or get some money or a little packet for the road to take along. And so I quickly learned that there were some advantages attached to this thing of being my father's son, of carrying his name. It opened up a lot of doors for me in that small community. And even years later, meeting up with people. Just the other day, I had somebody at a doctor looking at my uncle, and he picked up that we were related and shared the same family name, and then looked at him for free, didn't charge him anything. So, wow, that's amazing. You know, just the perks attached to that. But sometimes in my life, I didn't feel it, experience it as a blessing. You know, being the pastor's kid carried some weights and responsibilities with it as well, and people would stereotype you. Mostly worked out for my good. Mostly people, and even my friends who were hectically involved in the world, kept me from sinning because I was a pastor's kid. They always used to make fun at me, but at times when I wanted to step over the line, they would say, "Don't you dare. You're the only one amongst us who still has some sanity about you. Don't throw it away. You walking around is a testimony of what we can be like, what we hope to aspire to. We've given up on ourselves because onkruid vergaan nooit, that kind of thing. But don't you dare become like us." You know, and at times I felt, if people could just leave me alone, I could just sin in peace. Just be myself. So I went to 13 different schools because my dad moving around quite a lot. And, you know, just every time we moved, I just hoped in my heart, new leaf. You know, nobody would know at least for a week or two that I was the pastor's kid. So I could just be naughty, you know, at school or just in the community. But inevitably, people would find out, like, before I had a chance at school and wherever. The fact of the matter is, names carry power with it. Names can open up doors for us, or names can close doors for us. And a very good friend of mine, someone whom I'm beginning to get to know quite well, is in the process of his life where he is having to rebuild his life. And he is having to claim back his name from what has happened in generations past in his life and in his own life. And he had to make a quality commitment to say that my name needs to be restored in honor. Because I want to leave something. I want to leave a legacy for my kids. I want them to tap into something, not just in the natural, that as well, but something, a spiritual dimension that will open up doors for them and will enable them to be launched in a way that I never was privileged to. You know, the greatest name can be attached to us. We find in Psalm 8 verse 1. David, even as we did this evening, as we just sang about the Lord's name, and I want to encourage you to continue doing that, and we will do this again at the end of the sermon. David is saying, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." And here he exalts the name of Jesus, and he writes this entire psalm about the name of God. He writes the entire psalm about magnificence, the excellence, the supremacy of God's name. That there's no name greater to him, more powerful to him, more precious to him than this name. It is the name that he would glory in time and time again. It would be the name that he would be honored to serve. And when he was confronted with Goliath, he stood up for that name because that name carried everything, the entire meaning of his existence. How excellent is your name? How precious is your name? We see this thought echoed in Philippians 2 verse 9 in the New Testament, where Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and he's saying, "Therefore God has also highly exalted him," Jesus, "and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." That God has chosen to invest everything about who he is, all of himself, in Jesus. Saying, this is the most powerful name. In this name resides all authority and all power. No authority, nothing exists, nothing is sustained, nothing that we see around us exists outside of the gambit, the orbit of the power of the name of Jesus. And so I always encourage people that whenever you are confronted with something that intimidates you or you're confused, nail it down to a name. Ask yourself some questions. What am I going through? The question which guys struggle with, what am I feeling? What is this thing I'm feeling? Is it confusion? Is it fear? Is it bitterness? Is it anxiety? Give it a name. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Instead of just living in this cobweb of emotions where you're not sure whether you're Arthur or Martha coming or going, give it a name. And as soon as you have given it a name, you reduce it to this dimension where it is subject to the name of Jesus. It is then just a name, whether it's something in your mind, whether it's something in your relationships, whether it is something in your finances, whether it is something in your emotions, in your family, whatever it is a name. And as the Bible here says, it's either a name in heaven, a name on earth, or under the earth. That covers all of us. I don't know how many of you have been to under the earth, maybe some miners here or engineers. Okay, but wherever you are, whatever you confronted with in space, on the earth, under the earth, it is covered by the name of Jesus. So even if some of you were to become astronauts and leave the orbit and the gravitational pull of the earth, you'll still be covered by the name of Jesus. And so I want you to think about the dimensions of your life right now. Some of us sometimes feel as if we've been cut loose like this balloon and we've been carrying around by the wind and we're not too sure where we will end up. Am I covered by the name of Jesus? This specific experience that I'm going through, that I've gone through, I know it's fine for you to speak about your life, but you don't know the detours in my life had taken. You don't know the roller coaster rides I've been on. And you're saying to me that all of that is covered by the name of Jesus. I'm saying to you, yes, it is. And within the name of Jesus, there resides the perspective that you need for whatever you've been through. In the name of Jesus, there resides the healing you need, the deliverance you need, the hope you need, the faith you need. Outside of the name of Jesus, there just exists your own best efforts. Outside of the name of Jesus, there just exists a lot of sweating and trying and striving, which I know for myself isn't nearly enough. So we see here that both in the Old and the New Testament, the excellence, the supremacy of the name of Jesus always is being held up as something to honor and to respect. God feels seriously about His name. It's the ferocity of His name, Deuteronomy 21 verse 20. Scary scripture says, but the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Zechariah 13 verse 3. It shall come to pass that if anyone still prophesies, speaking within a specific context here, the people of Israel who were prophesying, they had prophets amongst them who were speaking falsehood and saying things in the name of God that God clearly didn't say. And God says, I will come and I will judge, I will bring order. And if somebody is still busy prophesying in my name, what I have not told him to prophesy, then his father and mother who begot him will say to him, you shall not live, because you have spoken lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. Here we see a reality about the name of God being esteemed and being held in such honor that it is of much more importance than even life itself. There's something within the Western mindset and the modern mindset that rebels against this thought. The same seed that the devil sowed in Adam and Eve's lives and minds as well. But somewhere along the line, we would reduce the name of God to just any other name, to our human experience. And here we see, thank God we're living in the New Testament. Thank God that when Jesus came, grace, more grace was imparted to us. And there's grace for us. But these scriptures are one to highlight to us because we move away from the place where we realize how seriously God feels about His name. How intensely passionate God is about His name. Because a name isn't just a name, as Shakespeare so eloquently showed us. A name carries with it, and so much more with God, carries with it all the character, the attributes, the power, everything associated with that name resides within that name. And so what God was saying, if anybody pulls my name into a situation, if anybody presumes to say that I said this because this is what the prophets did, as I speak in the name of the Lord, so I'm speaking on behalf of God, and I'm saying this is what God is saying. God is saying I'm valuing my name and the honor and the integrity of my name so much that I will not allow it to be defamed. And just recently, a very good friend of ours here, Chris, has got this passion as well for the name of Jesus. And I want to encourage you, and he has this passion to just, before we go and watch movies, let's find out. There are ways and websites and things you can go and check out about how the name of Jesus is being used, not being used in certain movies. We get so blasé sometimes about the preciousness of that name, the beauty of that name. And the whole world system is geared towards just reducing the name of Jesus to an ordinary name. In actual fact, to a name less important than other names. And so this scripture comes as a shock to the system,
I had to take a second look at this and second take. And God feels seriously, passionately about His name. Acts 4 verse 10. I want to show us why God feels this. Because whenever we see in the Bible, in the name of the Lord, it literally means when we operate in the name of the Lord, when we call upon the name of the Lord, when we prophesy in the name of the Lord, when we sing in the name of the Lord, we are bringing in the presence of God. So we are pulling the presence of God into that situation. So whenever within the Old Testament context, people called upon the name of the Lord, they didn't call on some airy-fairy being out there. They said that I recognize that God is here in this room, here present, in all His character attributes. And I call Him as a witness to what I'm doing. Not only am I calling Him as a witness to what I'm doing, I'm calling upon Him as the source that is giving me the strength to do what I'm doing. So we call upon the name of the Lord. We've often sang that and prayed that. I don't know how many of you have prayed that prayer. Call upon the name of Jesus. God, I call upon Your name. What does it mean? It means I call God as a witness into my situation, where I'm living, what I'm going through right now. And then I'm recognizing Him as the source of the strength, of the wisdom that I need to get me through the situation. So I want to highlight for us a few elements attached to the name of the Lord. Firstly, it is in the name of the Lord that we are given the power to be saved. And I say this often. Of course, we sometimes forget this, and I need to remind myself of this. But there's nothing inside of me that can save me. That the cross of Jesus came not so much to save me from the devil, save me from the world. It came to save me from myself. To deliver me from my flesh. To deliver me from that ingrained obsession with self. To wanting to do things my way. And my way always leads to death. Sin is simply this, mankind doing things his way instead of God's way. Having a choice between what God says and what I say, and I choose my way. And it's something we are born with, and it's something which we can't think ourselves out of. We can't punish ourselves out of it. We can't regulate ourselves out of it. We can't morph into it by watching enough series or reading enough books. We can't transform. Brilliant new movie that came out. We need to be in a place where we are saved. We need to be saved from the things that keep us bound on the inside. And here we see in Acts 4 verse 10, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole. I love this. This speech is standing up in front of thousands of people. Just after the Holy Spirit came upon them, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. We spoke about this morning. And shook the whole building. They started speaking in tongues, and everybody started hearing the message of the gospel delivered in their own language. And they were asking, what's going on here? Are these people drunk? What are they doing? And Peter explained to them what was taking place. And we see that Peter says, by His strength, by this man, by His name, here, the man that you see in front of you stands in front of you whole. If you can read Peter's story, you'll pick up pretty quickly that he was a broken man. He was called by God, but he was quite broken in his emotions. Insecure, always had to prove himself by being the first to do something, having the loudest mouth. Always had to go out of his way to have people noticing him. Making promises too quickly, not being able to fulfill those promises. Walking the same route as Judas, betraying Jesus. Not for money, but for comfort. For the safety of his own life. Pretty much a broken man. So God walks into his life and Jesus meets him on the beach where Peter was busy fishing again and just wanted to throw everything away. I'm just going to go back and fish. Get back to what I know. Jesus met him there, encouraged him there, put his hands around his heart again, massaged his heart back to life and says, Peter, feed my sheep. Forget about the stuff. Forget about the things that you don't know. You're not getting right. You're not loving me the way you should. That will come. Just feed my sheep. Be passionate about my sheep. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them while they were busy praying. And he stands up in front of thousands of people, this coward, this broken man, this impulsive man. I stand in front of you whole in the name of the one who has called me. I find that tremendously encouraging. Verse 11 says, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone.
nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And Peter recognized that. Recognized that even while he was walking with the Master, he was still doing things his way. And a shift in his life came when he called upon that Master to save him, to deliver him. And the power of the Holy Ghost came upon him. And he realized, I stand here, even though I might sound broken to you, I might look broken to you, you might remember how I betrayed Jesus, but I stand here because I've been saved, and because I'm saved, I'm whole. I'm in the process of being restored, becoming the man that God wants me to become. My salvation lies not inside of me, lies in the name of Jesus. And so as I'm drowning, I call upon the name of Jesus. It is Him reaching out and plucking me out of the water. Have you experienced the power to be saved? Have you experienced that power walking into your life, calming the storms in your life, giving you sleep and peace again, giving you hope where only despair existed? Have you been saved? Not are you trying to be saved, not are you trying to live a good life, but have you walked into the name of Jesus? And can you stand and say, I stand in His name whole? Because I've been saved by that name. It's from that place of being saved that we go into Deuteronomy 18 verse 5. Because see, in the name of the Lord, there's power to minister. And as I'm speaking to you tonight, I'm speaking to ministers of the gospel. I'm speaking to people who have been called to be witnesses to what you have heard and witnesses to what you have seen and experienced in your life. That is what a minister is. You're a minister of the good news of Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 18 verse 5 says, for the Lord your God has chosen, speaking about Aaron. The Bible says that just as Aaron has been called to be a priest, that the Lord has called us as kingdom, as a kingdom of priests. That each one of us has been called as a priest of God to minister to Him and to minister to people on His behalf. For the Lord your God has chosen Him, put your name in there, has chosen you out of all your tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, you and your sons forever. That the calling upon your life that has been given to you to minister, that calling has been given to you in the name of the Lord. That your boldness and your confidence resides in nothing inside of you, but in the name of the Lord. That as you would stand up to speak a word of life, as you would stand up to fight for those who can't fight for themselves, whether it's with abortion, or whether it is with the woman on the street needing a place of safety, whether it's with the orphans, as you would stand up and minister in a practical way, you minister in the name of the Lord. Don't ever dare stand up and think that you can do it in your own strength. The beauty is that we can't. And that is where we find our confidence in. That our ability to minister has got nothing to do with ourselves. It is in the name of the Lord. So stop holding back at school. Stop holding back in your classes. Stop holding back at your work. As a team are going out as well, they're going in the name of the Lord. Knowing that if we go in our own strength, heaven forbid, because we've got nothing to give them, we're going to make them 7 times worse than we are. But we are going in the name of the Lord. And we are bringing what God has put in our hearts, we're bringing that to the table. And that is what you minister. Not out of your own self, out of your own heart. In the name of the Lord, there is power to govern. Some of you are in positions of authority. Some of you have just stepped out and God is beginning to trust you with more authority. In a very secular environment. I want to encourage you with a scripture, Deuteronomy 21 verse 5. The Levitical priests will then step up from the message. Speaking here about a scenario within Israel where a body gets found. Somebody has been killed. Other people come along. They discover the body. Nobody knows what happened to this guy. It's just clear that he has been killed. It's a wound. He's bled to death. Whatever the case might be. Nobody's claimed the body. Nobody has admitted to what he's done. And then the Bible says the city nearest to that man, there the priests will come. The elders of the city will come. They will sacrifice. And they will say, we're innocent of this man's blood. Lord, forgive the land where this blood has been shed. Don't hold this blood against us. Don't have the earth calling out for vengeance for this man's blood. Powerful principle. God comes through Moses and says, the Levitical priests will then step up and be called in.
Because God has chosen them to serve Him in these matters by setting legal disputes and violent crimes by pronouncing blessings in God's name. And here we see a very secular environment. We see where justice had to be given. Judgment calls had to be made in violent crimes. Can you do this in the name of the Lord? And sometimes we joke, and we've all heard the jokes about our attorneys and how corrupt our legal system is. But you know, there's a place where we can come like William Wilberforce, as a man called by God. And in the name of the Lord, we can come make a difference in a political system within the British Empire. And change the entire perspective and the drive that people had concerning slavery. He was consistent in ministering, in governing, in a very political, in a very real way, in the name of the Lord. That some of us are so scared to venture out into politics, to venture out into areas where we'll be challenged, or where it doesn't sound churchy, doesn't feel churchy, because we somehow feel we'll be stepping out and we'll be leaving the name of the Lord behind, between these four walls or in my prayer room. But there's a place for you to stand up and defend somebody in the name of the Lord, in a court of law. There's a place where you can judge as a judge in the name of the Lord. There's a place where you as a CEO can make certain decisions concerning your budget, who to employ, whom not to employ, whether to lay people off or whether to take a pay cut, in the name of the Lord. Where you can decide what to tender for, how to approve those tenders or not, in the name of the Lord. Where to set up your business, which towns to go and set up your businesses in the name of the Lord, led by the Lord. In other words, you call Him and you say, God, you are witness to what I'm doing, and you're also the origin, the source of strength to what I'm doing. And I'm doing this in the name of the Lord. Some of us as dads and moms once again need to govern our homes in the name of the Lord. Draw the name of the Lord into your home. Call Him as a witness of what is taking place between you and your wife, you and your husband. Recognize Him as the source of strength between the two of you and with your kids, and govern in the name of the Lord. 1 Samuel 17 verse 45. The name of the Lord gives us power to overcome. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." And I love this about David, as David would run up against Goliath. He says, "I'm not running up against you as David." We see later on in David's life, his troops were camped in a certain area, and they looked after one of the other farmers in the area. They looked after his sheep and stuff, and protected the sheep against raiders and invaders. And later on, David goes to the guy, sends some messengers to him, and he says, "When you go to him, tell him that you come in the name of David, and you just ask for certain recompense for the services which we have rendered you." And this guy says, "Who's David? What's in your name?" In other words. And David, and that's why later on God had to say, "You know, David, it's okay, I don't want you to build the temple," because we see when that insult comes to David, he saddles up most of his men, a few hundred of them, and he goes out to go and slaughter and wipe the entire man off the face of the earth. Fortunately for him, he had a godly wife who interceded for him, stopped David from shedding innocent blood. Arrogant blood, but innocent blood. And here we see that David had a reality in his life. It wasn't about the name of David. It wasn't about how good David looked. David knew that I had nothing that would enable me to overcome this giant. That I'm coming up against him in the name of the Lord. I'm coming up against my depression, or against my anxiety, about my confusion, against my insomnia, against the isolation I feel inside of me even when I'm in the midst of a crowd. Against the despair I feel when I look at my family and I see us just being pulled apart faster and faster, like we're being sucked into this vortex that I cannot get out of. I come against those things in the name of the Lord. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." I just lately once again had to take a look at my sword and my spear and my javelin and just ascertain for myself, is my strength in these things that God does give me, the weapons that He does give me, the abilities that He does give me, or is it primarily, first and foremost, not in my slingshot, but in the name of the Lord? And out of my understanding of the power inside the name of the Lord, I'll be able to wield my weapons effectively.
A beautiful aspect about David when he ran up against Goliath was that he went down to the river first, picked up his stones, probably just calmed himself down, reminded himself of the bear and the lion that he had conquered. And then when he got up from the river, he ran at Goliath. That's so powerful and precious to me. Psalm 118 verse 10, David saying, all nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Some of us being chased around by a hornet's nest of beastly bees. And we're running all over the place, being stung left, right, and center. It's time that you take up the name of the Lord. It's time that you take up the name of the Lord and resist that fear that's causing you to run about to and fro. Where you can never settle down. Where you can never allow your tent pegs to be rooted and plugged into a family, into relationships. You're being chased around by things that should not be chasing you around because you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Take up the name of the Lord. It's your power to overcome. 1 Samuel 20 verse 42. The name of the Lord, we see that we receive power to honor covenant. We see that Jonathan and David strike up this covenant between the two of them. Jonathan said to David, go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord be between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever. So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. It's in the name of the Lord that we find our ability to honor covenant. Honor covenant between husband and wife. Again, that if we were to be the only people that we can rely upon to fulfill the terms of the covenant, in other words, to love somebody else unconditionally for the rest of our lives, to manifest the covenant love of God towards one person, if we are doing that without the power of God, we are doomed for failure. Good, honest, nice people have tried. Nothing wrong with them. Except that there's a power of covenant that they're not tapping into because they've entered into that covenant without the Lord. Or somewhere during the course of the covenant, they forgot that it was God who brought them together. God was a witness, the covenant. And they began to live the covenant in their own names. In their own surnames, individual names, family name that bring from the past into this. Names of what I want to become, names of what people called me, names I'm trying to run away from, so I overcompensate. And I lash out at things and at my spouse because it reminds me of names that I have been called, and I'm trying so desperately hard to shake these things off, whereas in the name of the Lord is the power that has been given to us. And that's why when we sign covenant here as members, we're doing that and we don't bring our best efforts to the table. And we're honest and we say, listen guys, we will fail you somewhere along the line. Somewhere along the line, we won't be able to be there for you in an area. There will be a misunderstanding. But our covenant with you isn't based on what we have to bring to you primarily. It's based upon the power of God. He is the glue. He is the cement. He is the bonding between us. And we have our hope and our trust in that covenant. So when we do break the terms of the covenant, either from our side or from your side, we've got somebody else to fall back upon. Because the covenant we made with one another, we didn't make in our own names. We were just part of a greater process where it was done in the name of the Lord. We see a beautiful covenant between David and Jonathan. And even after Jonathan was killed, years later, David finds out that he had a son, Mephibosheth. And he seeks him out and he blesses him just the way he would have blessed Jonathan if he was still alive. Called him home, said, come, you're not supposed to be living way out in fear from me. Come home. Have a place at my table just like my other sons. The power of covenant. Are you calling upon the name of the Lord in your relationships? Here in church? Your family? Your spouses? There's a power available to you. Tap into it. Added to that, Matthew 18 verse 20 says the following. That in the name of the Lord, we have the power to fellowship together. It says it so beautifully, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. So as we gather, as we come here on a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening, or we gather as a young working zone to dress up funny on a Friday evening and get home at 1, whatever time you guys got home. When we come together as a small group on a Wednesday, we come together in a coffee shop, just the 2 or 3 of us. We come together with the knowledge and the awareness in our hearts that we are in the presence of the King. And the presence of the King enables us to move beyond the facades. Some of us are trying to bash through barriers and facades and misconceptions that people have about us or we have about them. And we're hammering and coming up against the brick wall. Stop. Call the name of the Lord back into your relationships. Call Him as a witness into your relationships. God, this relationship, be a witness to this between my brother and I, within this misunderstanding. And be the source of our wisdom to get through this. Be the source of our transparency to be able to live without masks. Look at what 1 John 1 verse 3 says. That which we have seen, John the Beloved is testifying about Jesus. And he says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Some of us have been so hurt in the family of God, have been so hurt in church. It's time that you bring that hurt back to the name of the Lord. Have His name consume it. Have His name obliterated out of your life. And fall back upon that name when you get challenged within the body. When you get hurt in the body. When you get offended in the body. I've been there. And I know that if I only have myself, if I only bring myself into the relationship, I should actually just be walking away from it. Because there's nothing in it for me, presumably. But I'm walking into that relationship. And I'm walking with that relationship. And I'm walking through that relationship. And the destiny God has called us to walk together on in the name of the Lord. He is the foundation. Call upon Him. Stop sweating. Stop trying to make it work. Stop trying to make people understand you. Call upon the name of the Lord. Bring those misunderstandings to His name. And have your relationships flow in the destiny God has for it. And it's in that destiny, in that area, where your greatest blessing lies, the enemy will throw most everything at you to try and get you sidetracked, try and get you derailed, away from the place of fellowship. Fellowship speaks about koinonia. Speaks about the place where we know one another intimately, even as John the Beloved says here that we can have fellowship with one another because we have fellowship with God. We have a veil that has been torn, a ceiling that has been lifted, where we can hear God and therefore we can hear one another. I don't know how many of you have been in relationships where it just seems that irrespective of what you say and how you try and say it, you just hear completely different things. You say the word, the sentence, you would write it down even, and then you would speak it out, and this person would hear something completely different. Yeah, but that's not what I said. No, but that's what you meant. Bring the name of the Lord of Jesus into that situation. Come against that spirit of division. Bring the name of the Lord of Jesus into that. Trust Him for His wisdom to maneuver you through that, because that is where your blessing lies. And I'm getting sidetracked on that, but I just feel it's a word for some of us. Isaiah 50 verse 10, we sang about this. In the name of the Lord, we have the power to see, to be illuminated. Who among you fears the Lord? Isaiah says, who obeys the voice of His servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? I don't know how many of you have been in that place, maybe where you're walking along, but you've got this queasy feeling in your stomach. Somewhere along the line, you're going to bump your toe, your knee, or your head. Some other part of your anatomy, and it's going to be terribly sore. Says yet, even in the midst of darkness, trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon your God. Trust in His name, because it is in His name, as you call His name into your darkness, into your uncertainty. God, don't know where I'm going to be next year, where I have to be. Don't know where you want me to live, what you want me to study, which job to take. Call upon His name. Call His name into your confusion. Call His name into your darkness. And see Him bring light and illumination. Trust Him. Trust His name. But you can't be passive about this. Confusion sneaks up on you. And wraps itself like
python around you. Slowly but surely, it squeezes the life out of you. You cannot be passive with confusion. You cannot just think that one day I'm going to wake up unconfused. You have to call the name of the Lord into your darkness. Call upon His name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I invite Your presence into this decision I have to make. I invite Your peace into it. I invite Your perspective, Your discernment into it. Your strength to do what I need to do. And I know that my light is found in Your name. Some of us be mining deep down into our lives, digging in stuff that maybe we shouldn't even be digging in because God says it's not the season for that now. I'm getting depressed just thinking about these things. It's time to just step out of the darkness. Some of us just have to make the decision. I'm going to step away from darkness and allow the name of the Lord to pull me out of it and pull me to the place of light that He has for me. In the name of the Lord, beautiful is the power to start again. Acts 9 verse 26. When Saul had come to Jerusalem, this is just after he was knocked off his high horse on the road to Damascus, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and didn't believe that he was a disciple. Duh. You know, just a few weeks earlier, he was busy getting people stoned, and it wasn't at a party. It was the literal death procession, having people thrown into prison. And now he has this experience, gets knocked off a horse, falls on his head. Now he comes back and he wants people to accept him. Must have been tremendously discouraging sharing your testimony. Hey guys, I'm changed. I'm not the same man I was before. I'm different. No, I don't have any daggers hidden behind my back. And no, the soldiers aren't behind the corner, just waiting for you to open up the door. And please forgive me, Stephen's mom. Yes, it was me. I did give permission for him to be stoned to death. But I'm changed now. Difficult trying to make those kinds of changes in your own strength. Thank God for Barnabas, who took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. He spoke boldly in the name of the Lord. This turnaround, some of us, we step out so timidly because we're afraid our pastor is going to jump out of the closet and scare us. Somewhere along the line, people are going to find things out about us. And here we see Paul stepping in the name of the Lord boldly. And people, it's time to be bold, not about who we are, but who God is inside of us, and what He has done. And that is undeniable. And even as the scripture we just read in 1 John says, we testify about this man who entered our lives, and we heard him and saw him and we handled him. That's your testimony. Walk boldly. Walk boldly. Walk bold in the change that He has brought about in your life. But don't ever presume to walk out of the name of Jesus. And walk in the name of Heinrich. And do things in the name of Heinrich. Yes, you've been saved, but now it's up to me. Now I've got to walk this thing through all the way. Yes, you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But you do that in the name of the Lord. You do that with Him as a witness. You do that with Him as your paracletos, as the one coming next to you, helping you as you go. And you do that as Him as the source of your strength. Some of us have to make some changes in our lives. Don't try and do it outside of the name of the Lord. Invoke His name. Call upon His name. And the name of the Lord is the power to live holy. And I'm just dropping these seeds in your spirit. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit that He will bring it your remembrance when you need it. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth and he's saying to them how they were before God walked into their lives. And we all know how we were. Such were some of you. Murderers, the adulterers, the fornicators, the homosexuals, the liars, all the things he mentions there. Such were some of you. But not anymore, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. two theologically loaded words, sanctified and justified. It just means that you have been set apart. It just means that you now have a stamp upon your life that says reserved for God's use. Purposed for God's use. Set apart for God's use. Enabled for God's use. When was the last time you checked that stamp on your life? Or are you allowing the stamps of the world try and put upon us? Failure. Disappointment. Burden. No good. Are you allowing that to define your life? So you try a little harder, you strive a little more, you go into denial. It's time to unwrap yourself again and look at the stamp of originality on your life that says sanctified, set apart for God's work. This morning I prayed with someone who just said that he recognized that in his workplace, he became so distracted with this new manager, this guy who was just wanting to just do things his own way, and he realized that it was just a distraction. I shouldn't get involved with things that make me uncomfortable. God has me here for a purpose. He has me here for a reason. And I'm here to serve this man. And I love him. And I want to see the best that God has for me and for this company. I don't want to get distracted. I've been sanctified. I've been set apart by God here in this environment to shine my light. To make a difference. And ultimately, that's what sin wants to do. It wants to move us away from the place where we know that we've been set apart. Are you still walking around with the reality that God has claimed you, has stamped you for His purpose? Call upon the name of the Lord again. You are attached to His name. God is, I'm linking my name to yours. Sean, son of the living God. Michael, son of the living God. Myra, Tanya, daughters of the Most High God. I'm not ashamed to have my name attached to you. And I'm walking around through heaven proud to be your God. Proud to be your Father. Proud to have my name upon you. And as Deuteronomy says, that as the Lord blesses us, He says, I'm putting my name upon them. I'm putting my seal upon them. And as we finish off, in the name of the Lord, there's the power to be productive. Colossians 3 verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. As you call God into your work, as a witness to God, as I'm sitting in front of this PC, as I'm organizing my day, as I'm planning the meals for the kids and for my husband or whatever, if I'm staying at home, or as I'm thinking about the meetings that I'm going to need to go through today and give some very bad news to some people, whatever it might be, God, I'm calling you as a witness into my job environment. I'm calling on your strength to be my source here. God is wanting us to be productive. He's wanting us to leave behind legacies and fruit where we work. Call upon His name. Your work isn't an accident. Isn't something God isn't concerned with. And even if it isn't something you're going to do for the rest of your life, right now you're doing that for God. And because of that, there's a blessing and favor upon it. Call Him down into your work environment. Some of you need to go and just again anoint the places where you work, your cubicles and wherever. James 5 verse 14 says, in the name of the Lord, we have the power to manifest His power. And as the team is going out, they're going out with this knowledge. James is saying, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's why we have oil here at the front. That's why sometimes some of you walk out of here with shiny foreheads. We do this just because it's a good idea, but because the Word of God commands us to do it. It's just, once again, it's a physical demonstration of the fact that God has laid His hand upon you. His calling is upon you. His anointing is upon you. It's a tangible reminder for you to know that the anointing of God rests upon your life. Some of you need to do something physical to remind yourselves. I shared a little bit a while ago. Shave your head, Bob, if you can. Remind yourself, I belong to God. Wear something for a time being. Wristband or whatever it might be. Have something unique to you that you know reminds you of God's calling upon your life. There's nothing magical about it. There's no power in that thing. There's no power in you shaving your head or whatever. But it's just a contact point for your faith. That you've been set aside by God. Grow your beard or shave it or whatever. But do something that has meaning to you, that you know this is between you and God and you stand in covenant. Amen? Mark 16 verse 17 or 18, it's not up there, it says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Awesome scripture to take with you if you're part of Survivor. But that is our reality in this world. God has called us to live victorious lives. Some of us are being clobbered silly by the serpents, clobbered silly by this thing and that thing. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon His name. He stands ready to intervene on your behalf. And here's just a word of caution. Queen would be very disappointed because it's not some kind of magic. Acts 19 verse 13. Thanks. Somebody got it. Yo, I was worried there. Acts 19 verse 13. From the Message translation. Some itinerant Jewish exorcists who happened to be in town at the time when all these miracles were taking place through Paul and the apostles, tried the hand of what they assumed to be Paul's game, his game plan. They pronounced the name of the Master Jesus over victims of evil spirits. I command you by Jesus preached by Paul. Seven sons of a certain Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were trying to do this on a man when the evil spirit, surprise, surprise, spoke back. I know Jesus and I've heard of Paul, but who are you? Then the possessed man went berserk, jumped the exorcists, beat them up and tore off their clothes, naked and bloody. They got away as best they could. Here we see they called and used the name of Jesus, invoked the name of Jesus. But it was something theoretical, something they pulled out of the sky, out of a book, out of a DVD that they had watched about somebody else. And so they try to play the same tricks. It's not about magic. It's not about tricks. It's not about a formula. It's caught up in the relationship that you have with that name. The person who bears that name. Go with me to one of the last scriptures. John 15 verse 16. Jesus saying, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. It's about bearing fruit, beloved. And bearing fruit simply boils down to this one thing, that every area of my life needs to come under the Lordship of Jesus, so that that area, when people look at it, they can see something about Jesus in that area of my life. And as that area of my life bears fruit, as it comes under the Lordship of Jesus, in other words, Jesus' desire for that area of my life will be of preeminent importance to me. And so I will ask Him for what will reflect His Lordship in that area. And so He says that as you bear fruit in every area of your life, within that area where you're bearing fruit, ask anything of my Father and it will be given to you. Within the context of Scripture, it's not just wake up one day and ask for the new Golf, GTI or whatever you want to have. It's not just about praying wishy-washy prayers. But as your prayers are lined up with God and with His purpose and with His will, things begin to happen. John 14 verse 13. It says, from now on, again the Message translation. Let's read the bottom one first. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do. And again, the central building block holding everything together here is so that the Father may be glorified. Look at the way the Message translation translates it again. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I'll do it. I love that. Along the lines of who I am, it's in line with my character. That's why we need to know God's character, saints. We need to know Him intimately through His Word. Know what His will and what His desire is for us. I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who He is in the Son. So each one of these areas which I've spoken about now, and there's many more, much more caught up in the name of Jesus, and I can actually just do a series on it. Hey, I will do a series on it. Caught up in the name of Jesus, every area of your life. as you bring it to the Lordship of Jesus, it's simply with this one thing, this one aim in mind. How can the Father receive maximum glory through my life? So my prayers change. And when I call upon the name of the Lord in my health, in my finances, in my ability to overcome sin, in my ability to start again, in my ability to honor covenant relationships, as I call upon His name to be productive in my work, as I call upon His name to enable me to finish strong, I'm doing that because God gets glorified through that. And I'm saying, God, do it the way You want to do it. All I know is that You say, You will give me power to overcome. How You give it to me, that's up to You. I'm not going to go and give into despair. I'm holding on to Your word. I'm holding on to Your word. And I want us, as even as we just all stand, I want us, even as you're standing, let's just sit down again, just quickly. Thanks. Some of you are very quick on the draw. Love that. The military people amongst us as well, especially. But I want us, before we stand, okay, I want us to make the standing representative of us standing on the name of the Lord of Jesus. Okay, I want us now, right now, just to close our eyes. Just where you're sitting. It's not a magic trick. Just want you to just think about Holy Spirit as we bring our minds before You. And as we pray that You would now bring to our remembrance, Lord, the areas in our lives where You wanted to put Your finger on. The areas in our lives, Lord God, where we have faded from the name of Jesus. Just a little bit off-center. Slightly left of the mark. Just a little bit too much of ourselves. Or maybe areas in our lives, Lord God, where we have never even invited Your name in. Pray, Spirit of God, that You would now show us. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Holy Spirit, we love You. We need You. We are so, so desperately in need of You. Show us the truth. To lead us into the truth that will set us free. So I want you just now just to think of an area. Maybe there are areas in your life. You just want to boldly declare, I'm standing in this area in the name of the Lord. I'm not standing in this area and I'm not facing the Goliath, whatever the Goliath is, in my own strength. I'm not facing it in my pastor's strength. I'm not facing it in my father's strength. I'm not facing it in the strength of my ethnicity. I'm not facing it in the face of my gender. I'm facing this area of my life in the name of the Lord. And you can stand whenever you're ready. I'm not going to rush this. The band can just come up for me. If you just want to stand because you feel uncomfortable, that's okay. I'm not putting pressure on you. If you don't want to stand because you don't feel ready to make the commitment, don't worry about it either. This is intensely personal between you and God. So if you feel put under pressure, I apologize for that. That's not the intention. But when you do stand, stand boldly. And know there's a power that is keeping you standing. And the fact that you are here, and the fact that you are alive, and the fact that you are breathing, and the fact that you are desiring to have His name upon your life, shows there is a power inside of you. Some of you have doubted whether you would make it this far and still be found standing in your marriage, still be found standing in your sanity, still be found standing in your trust in God's commitment for your life, still be found standing in your ability to trust Him for something new. Hey, believers, here you are. You've made it. You've made it. You're here today in His presence. God's strength residing inside of you. Some of you, I just want to say, chin up. Face this world. Boldly. Boldly. Let's close our eyes because I believe that there's one or two of us tonight that we can't say, I can do that boldly, Heinrich. Hearing what you're saying. But you know what? I've never even invited this name into my life before. Not the way you speak about it.
be honest with you, I find it a little bit difficult to relate to all of you people jumping up and down when we sing about this name. It's a little easier for me to get excited about things outside of me, but just this name, Jesus, feels so far removed from me. I want to say to you this, tonight, that that name has come close to you. The fact that you are here tonight means that that name is looking for you. The one who bears that name. And he's willing to put that seal upon you. He would call upon his name to be saved. He's not going to force himself upon you. That would be rape. That would be abuse. That would be a violation of your will. And he will not do that. Some of you have been there. You know what it means, what it feels like to be abused like that. So he's not going to force himself on you. But he does want to accept the invitation to come in, to have fellowship with you. To put a stamp upon your life. Before you can know that you've been reserved for his purpose, reserved for his work, you need to know that you've been reserved for his love. You've been reserved to be the recipient of a lavish, passionate love. It is wanting to knock you off your feet for no other reason than just because he wants to do it. Wants to have you flat on your back, amazed at the glorious sunshine, the warmth of his love in your face. I want to ask you tonight, if as believers, we just pray. If you're here tonight, you want to say, I want to call upon that name to be saved. I won't admit it to people around me, but I need saving. I need that name of Jesus. There's so much that's been passed on to me. I just feel so heavy. And as a fact, I'm cross with God because I think this is completely unfair. The expectations upon me, and I just can't carry it anymore. If you can just give me an indication. If the Lord has led you here tonight, then just pray with me. I need to invite him into my life. And I want to walk through this world by myself, counting upon myself. So many people have unwrapped my life. I've done with my life what they wanted to. I want to bring my life in line with what he has for me. Is there anybody here this evening? You just want to say, Andre, just pray with me. I want to accept him as my Lord and Savior. I want to have that fellowship with him. I want to have that passion burning in my heart for this name of Jesus. I want to know what it feels like to be passionately loved. I don't know that. I want to experience his passionate, raw love lavished upon me. It'd be my privilege to pray for you. Is anybody here on my right hand side? And the Lord has led you by his Spirit. And right now there's a battle raging inside of you. It's going to prolong for one more moment. Yeah, don't be shy. It's the moment that changed our lives. And just for one person, and it's worth it. Anybody on my left hand side, I'm facing you. Hallelujah. See the dance. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else? Anybody else who's saying something? I want to step out of my own life. I'm honest, I'm a little bit tired of my life. I want to step into a bigger purpose. Anybody else tonight? And I just want to ask the daughter of the King, raise your hand. If you can just come to the front, and I would love to pray with you. We're going to have some facilitators coming to the front as well. If you haven't raised your hand, just want to raise it. Now's a good time to come. Still need to be at the front. Don't delay. It's a massive party going on in heaven about this moment. And I would ask you, believers, just to pray with us. So we're praying this prayer. I'm just going to pray with you. It's not the prayer that saves you, so that I can save you. It's somebody who has an appointment with you.
wants to walk into your life. He wants to be to you what you need Him to be. Won't you just pray with me as we all pray together? Lord God, I come to you tonight as a sinner in need of a Savior. I recognize that I cannot save myself. I have tried, and it has led me nowhere. So tonight, I step out of my life and into yours. And as I do that, Father, I thank you that you embrace me and pull me to your chest. I thank you that you set me free from every bondage. That you set me free from every feeling of shame and guilt. That it is no longer mine to carry. You have carried it for me. So I pray, Lord Jesus, make me your own. Save me. Embrace me. Love me the way only you can. I thank you for your blood. And I thank you that I'm yours. And that no one and nothing will ever pull me out of your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Leaders is going to pray with you very quickly. Then I want to just speak to believers very quickly. And we're going to sing the two songs we sang right at the beginning. Again, as we're going to sing these songs, we're just going to declare the name of Jesus, the name of God, our passion for His name. I want you to come and I want you to bring the areas in your life that the Lord has ministered to you. I want you to take a piece of paper. Okay, if you didn't bring one, borrow one, steal one. The guy next to you will understand tonight. It's okay. I want you to bring it along with you. Okay, you don't have to write anything on it. The paper is just symbolic. I want you to come and as we're going to just sing about the name of God, I want you to come and stand in the name of the Lord on that circumstance, on that name. You and you alone can bring it under the authority of the name of Jesus. I can't do that for you. You have to bring it to the Lordship of Jesus. Whatever it is, whatever name it's carrying, whatever circumstance it is, bring it as you will worship God. You worship the name of Jesus over that thing. You don't battle with that thing that has been defeated. You worship and praise the name of Jesus over that. I want you to be bold. Come to the front. Come stand upon it here. Come and dance upon it. Come and stomp upon it. Come and do on it whatever the Holy Spirit does in you. Activate your will. Get yourself involved. And do what God lays in your heart to do. Thanks, man.